Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. This is part two of the recap. If you missed part one, go check out your podcast feed. It's right there. And without further ado, let's get right back into the recap.
Aisha gives a tour to Jeff, and this is the main guy, and he's just miserable.
Oh, he sucks. You know,
he's like, we have to stay on the dock. And Sandy's like, yeah, guys, you know, listen. It's going to rain, and so we're going to have to stay on the dock for safety. And he goes, really, is rain something that you – what did he say? I don't have the direct quote here, but he said something like, yeah, is that something that you plan for? She did it just for you.
I don't remember. Yeah.
She did it just for you, Jeff, you douchebag.
All I know is
like,
that.
Well, why would you schedule us on a rain day? Idiot.
Anytime he spoke, he needed to advertise how much he paid or talk about something and its cost. He was just a tacky motherfucker. And then he had his, was it his wife or a girlfriend, Cassandra? And I like to call her a GLM, which is that she probably announces everywhere she goes, gays love me. She was hilarious, though. I'm not going to lie. She had enormous fake boobs and then a Terry Hatcher face. And that was enough to say, well, maybe I might love her. I don't know. She may be onto something. I was like, oh, God, she's going to be so obnoxious. And then she was so funny because at first, when she found out it was going to be raining, she had this look on her face like, oh, I see. But then the rest of the charter, she's like, yes, rain. We love the rain. I mean, like, she was just happy about everything.
Yeah, because I think she was getting drunk with Jeff, which Jeff hates. And he's like, don't let her drink too much. She gets horrible when she's drunk. And then he kind of, like, low-key under his breath is berating her the whole time. Like, you're embarrassing me. Stop it. Jeff, you're so gross. Please. And to Cassandra, I hope it's worth it. I mean, she ends up getting a $100,000 necklace during this whole thing, which, I mean, great. But... is money that important? I mean, listen, I get it, but is it worth Jeff? Jeff?
Yeah. Seriously. Seriously.
Seriously. I would do anything else.
Yeah. He's like, well, the boy's paying for the cabin. Why should the girls get it? The boy's paying. This is what Jeff says. So Sandy's like, yeah, guys, you know, the weather's real bad. And he goes, did the weather just come up suddenly? That's how weather works, Jeff.
Have you not seen any of the news over the past week? There's been a flash flood at every single part of this globe. Thank you very much. Weather happens, and it happens fast. Get over it.
Have you been outside? Like, have you been in the world, Jeff? She's like, yeah. You know, let me tell you, there's 50 knots of wind out there. Okay, it's a big one. Dame Judi Dench, Lou Diamond Phillips, finally finding each other. In the wind castle. It's going to be huge, right? Everybody gather around. But look, we're protected inside the marina. Would you like to go on a little boat ride, something? Maybe like that? You could just go around. You know, it's like, think of it this way. If this, the whole world was a city, we're on one little tiny cul-de-sac with no houses on it. And we're just going to drive around in a circle around the cul-de-sac. Does that sound fun, Jeff?
He's like, I don't know. I mean, I have paid for a lot of things because I paid for things because I have money. So I paid for things. And so,
well, I've got a son, and I've realized how important paying for things is now.
Well, maybe a little taste of the water is all he needs, a little rocking and rolling. So they're going to go on a little tender ride. A tender is the night, you know, on a ride. So Jen and Kat are talking, and Jen's like, oh my God, the primaris fake boobs are insane. Like, I can't stop staring at them. And then they just show like a close up of her chest. And
I don't like the term fake boobs. I feel like once I've paid for them, they're mine. Like, do I have a fake middle of my, are people like, whoa, Ronnie, nice fake middle of your eyebrows? Because I got a little filler put in there one time. It's still mine. I paid for the filler.
Yeah, they're real boobs. Real boobs. Real boobs. Yeah. Real stories. Judge Judy. So, Joe and Kaylee go off on this tender ride, and Kaylee can see that Joe is feeling sad, especially after Jeff is like, so you're the bosun, huh? And he's like, no, just lead that hand. So Kaylee's like, poor Joe. There's so many times that Joe has just like been in my corner when I've been struggling, and I just want to be that person for Joe. He just needs some kindness and probably a little hug and a kiss. So he's sitting there moping. And she's being very nice to him. She's like, you know, sort of cuddling him. Like, it's all right, Joe. You'll be okay.
Poor Joe. And Cassandra's saying, what are we going to do? Are we going to, like, be pissed off and mad, Jeff? No, we're not going to be pissed off and mad, right, Jeff? He's like, oh, it sucks. We weren't able to go out. And now the waves and the wind don't even seem that bad. And we're stuck here. I paid for everything.
I like when Sandy decides to show them a lesson, or when any of them, I guess Carrie did it too. Like, okay, you want to see why we're not going out there? And they go out like 5 feet and it's all choppy and they all get seasick. Ugh,
they're like barfing over the side of the boat. Like, why? We're all going to die. And that's how it is out there. You still want to go out there? Captain Carrie really did the best thing of all of the cat. And there have been a lot of Captain good moments on this show, but the best was Captain Carrie taking that drunk lady and being like, let's go talk over here. Come on into this room. And then close the door and lock it on her.
He is the king of deception.
Okay, so Aisha calls Scott and checks in with him. And then on the Tinder, Kaylee is talking to Joe about his emotional state. She's like, yeah, well, are you? This like what's happening with me and Jen, like we were butting heads, but then, you know, I had to change the situation. You can't change that. So all you can do is change how you react.
But also, like, Joe did not get demoted. What did he think was actually going to happen from this situation? He was temporarily a bosun while Nate was out, and Nate came back, so you go back to your old job. Like, did you think that Nate was just going to get fired or demoted? Like, why are you sulking so much?
I think into the hospital, and then they come out, and you're like, aw. You know, I was planning your whole demise. I think he was planning on Nathan just being out for the whole season, you know?
Yeah. I think he also thought he'd have more time as a bosun, and it was only one charter. So now Joe says, migrating back to deckhand role has hit me more than I anticipated. It's so important to me to become successful in this industry. Not only have I got to support myself, but my mom's going to go through the cancer treatments. And then they show pictures of him with like Dorinda Medley. And I was like, what's going on with that? And then it turns out that that's his mom. I was like, oh. So he says, I'm going to have to be there and look after her financially. This is what it means. So why it means so much for me. This is my everything. Do I see the same person in Nathan? No, of course I don't. Oh. Please don't make me defend Nathan on this episode of all episodes. You don't see, like, please don't. Like,
he's throwing Joe all now the acting like right he's the, now.
Like
he's like, but my mom has cancer. It's more important to me than it is to stop it. Stop it.
Yeah, seriously, stop it. So meanwhile, while Joe is sulking, Cassandra's like behind Joe and Kaylee, and she just gets up and she's like, it's my birthday, happy birthday to me.
Oh God, please don't get her drunk. She's really unreasonable when she's drunk. And she's like, yeah, I'm fan Army Jeff. Woohoo! Hey, guess what? I am personally uninjured. Cassandra.
Unreasonable. Meanwhile, Jen is waiting for the guests to come back, and she's holding a tray of champagne, and then all of a sudden she just drops them all, and so everyone rushes to clean it up. And then Jen announces, oh, second fucking time this season, I have to put a fucking smile on my face because, oh no, Jen's gonna be a bitch again. So it turns out that she went to Bali, as we all know, but she went ATV riding.
My parents just can't stop paying for things. Sorry.
And she crashed into a wall. And since then, my wrist has been royally fucked up. Girl.
It's so funny how you physically crash into a wall once and then you emotionally crash into them every day after.
I know. Maybe get the head checked while you're getting the MRI for the wrists.
She's like, oh, my wrist. I can't even move my wrist. It's so bad. So anything is because of the Bali. It's the Bali trip. And then the editors cut in like a clip of her leaning on her wrist. Like these editors are not letting Jen get away with shit.
I love it. So, Jen is talking about it. And Kaylee is like, she's just really happy to now be doing something low key, like helping Joy decorate a cake. So they're doing that. And Max texts Sandy with an update. He's like, Captain Sandy, I'm on my plane. She goes, okay, start at the embassy. Stay safe, okay? He said, but there's no embassy on the plane. No, once you land, then you go to the embassy, okay? Okay, good luck.
Captain Sandy, I'm leaving you a voice note right now.
Ding! Please put your seatbelts on for the beginning of the day!
Oh, God, just please.
He's going to parachute out of that plane.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Nathan speaks to Gail and tells Gail that Joe's been pouting. And she's like, well, did he think he was going to be bosun for the rest of the season? It's so unprofessional. And Nathan says, I still feel like I'm getting my feet back under me. Coming back on board after missing a charter and a half. But like, I'm taking it easy and spending time with Kaden. And Gail gave me the motivation to go and do the rest of the season. So get a strong woman by your side. It's not a speech that aged very well.
Yeah, no kidding. So then we go to the bridge, and we're doing the cocktail class, or the bridge deck, rather. And Aisha is doing the porn star martini class, and Cassandra goes, we both love a porn star. He's like, oh, God, stop it. Let her talk, Cassandra. It's like, yeah, both of us love porn stars. Like, stop it. You're embarrassing me. Oh, yeah.
I've been in this industry for 10 years, so I've got a little experience keeping guests happy when the weather's bad.
And then we got a series of flashbacks. And then Jeff is still just being, he's being somehow a gray cloud amongst a sky of gray clouds. And yeah. And Aisha's like, gosh, everyone's having a good time except for Jeff. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, and he's like, oh, God, stop drinking, Cassandra. You're spilling your drink. It's so embarrassing. And she's like, I'm not spilling my drink. Shut the fuck up, Jeff. All right, you just shut the fuck up. He's like, you're pissing me off now. Shut up, Jeff. Shut up.
Joy brings out her pasta press machine. And she's teaching them how to make pasta. And she loves it because she's like, yeah, I can distract them and they don't ask me for a million snacks all day.
Yeah. So Kat is setting the dinner table with Jen, and Jen's like, oh my God, my right wrist is so wonky right now. Bally, am I right? Really rough. It's really rough on the wrist. And she's like, yeah, it was an accident, Bally. And now it's like starting to tweak out again. I need to wear my brace, bro. Oh my God, I'm going to look like a robot. Who wants to see a person in a brace?
And then Nathan asks Coop and Joe to bring the tender in. And so while they're bringing it in, Joe is talking to Coop, and Joe's like, I feel $1 million, you know, I feel better now. Cause he feels better since basically Kaylee gave him a pep talk and told him to buck up a little bit. He's like, I'm allowed to have a fucking vent. He just rips the living life out of me. We need manpower.
Well, I know I'm not happy about it either, but we can only do what we can do, other daddy.
So Nathan comes down and hears Joe talking about him, and he's like, I feel like Joe's trying to infiltrate other people's minds about me. If you want to say something to me, just have a pair of bowls and say what you have to say. Well, they can't, though, Nathan. They can't even laugh without you being like, oh, really? What are you laughing about over there? Say it to me face.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, I would be okay with Nathan complaining about Joe trying to infiltrate people's minds, except for the fact that Nathan is also trying to do the same thing. They're basically trying to find allies. Nathan is the one who texted Max and said, have my back and I'll make you deckhand. And then later on, he tries to get information out of Kaylee. So like, you're actually just as bad as Joe is. So anyway, we are in the main salon and the guests are doing a fashion show, which is kind of like standard below deck silliness, where like the guests are walking down a little runway, even Jeff, and then the stews do a little walk. It's, you know, it's like, you know, fun and wacky and cute for them, less interesting for us. So then they sit down to have dinner. And food is being served. Everything is delicious and perfect. And last charter, famously, the food was met with mixed response initially. So Joy was really hoping for a good charter this time. And so everyone seems to be really enjoying their food right now and everything seems to be great. And then all of a sudden Jeff starts to like choke and lurch and like vomit onto his plate.
It's so weird because they're like, oh my God, everything's so good. Oh my God, what if the chef's like really down there and she's like having a, you know, breakdown or something, but everything's coming out perfect. And Jeff just goes, bleh. You just hear, you hear a gurgle and then a splat. I don't know if they inserted the splat, but I was horrified.
It was. But I've also never rooted for like a piece of duck before in my life. With the way that I was like, get it, duck.
Finish the job, duck. Finish the job. So he runs down and, you know, does what every douchebag, self-centered main character shithead does and barfs in a sink.
Bro. Right. The toilet's right there.
So is the ocean. Waste
basket. Anything. You
know, anything.
But the sink, but the out of sink all the choices. Out of all the choices.
Ugh.
At first I thought he was having an allergic reaction, but he wasn't. He just merely had something went down the wrong pipe. And he was obviously fine enough to go running off. But like, I was so happy about how embarrassing this was for him. So he goes off. And then he like, well, yeah, no, I'm doing much better. I mean, the sink's clogged. Oh, well. Like, bro, why not the toilet?
Disgusting. And one of the guests, while he's in the bathroom, comes with this plate. And they're like, yeah, Jeff just barfed on this plate. Can we get rid of this? It's like, yeah, but also maybe you're like whoever was next to him. You got barf splatter all over your deck.
Do you guys also maybe want to check on Jeff? Maybe. I guess that's how you can
tell. No, Sandra barely went down there. She's like, yeah, Jeff can show. I guess I should go check on Jeff. I haven't got my birthday present yet. All right, be all right, Mike. Jeff. You all right, Jeff?
Guys love me. Then poor Kaylee has to go down there with a plunger. She has to plunge the sink, but of course, it's like plungers aren't really made for sinks, so everything starts like exploding up. It gets on her face. It's like, ugh. It's so vile. And then eventually Nathan has to come with like a wet vac, and even that splat. It's just... it's so much for this stupid douchebag for not puking in the right place. I understand it was an urgent moment, but like you had enough wherewithal to be able to leave the table and go all the way to that bathroom. You can just go the 2 inches over to the right and puke in the toilet.
Yeah, or two inches the other way and go do it overboard. I guess that would get all over the side of the boat, but still, I mean, you could hose that down. Look, everyone barfs, but most people think to like barf somewhere like, where people can clean up after them more easily, you asshole.
Yeah. Barf with logic, you know?
Yeah, barf with some, like, empathy towards other people.
Thank you. Yeah. So it's gross. And
I had a friend I was out with one night, and she's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to barf. And I was like, no. And then she was so sweet, she barfed in her purse. And I was like, it was still got everywhere, so and it was disgusting and horrible. And I really never want to drive her again, even though this was years and years ago. But she tried, you know what I mean? And I appreciated that effort.
Yeah. You know what I love? I love the pre-barf face that people make when they think that they are fooling us, that they're not about to throw up, where they will not open their mouth, obviously, because they know that they can't. That's too risky. So they just sit there with lips closed, and they give that little smile, and they nod a lot. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They do this thing. They do like that's like not like a. It's not a normal smile. It's like a. Mm-hmm. It's like a I have puke in my mouth smile, and they always, and because they know they're about to puke, they try to look extra proper. So they often sit up straight and they go mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm like, please just go to the bathroom. Just go to the bathroom and puke. Just put this weird smile.
Well, we don't know. I mean, that's one of the fucked up things about being human, you know? And people have so many questions about God, like, or for God. Like, how could you let this happen? Like when a family member gets sick or when, you know, you're going through whatever. You're going through whatever. And you're like, God, why are there starving children in the world? If there's a God, why would you do this? Mine is simpler. Like, if there's a God, why do we poop? Why do we have boogers? Why do we barf? You know, it's just such a gross part of being alive. It's like one of the worst things. Like, why?
Well, why are those things so gross?
You make so many great things about people. Because they smell. I mean, they're purposely gross. They smell. I mean, barf has like acid in it. You could burn through a Diet Coke can eventually. Like poo-poo smells, and it's poisonous if you get any in ya, you know, other than your butt. So, I mean, why do we... It's just so gross, you know? So, yeah. Jeff, yes, you're disgusting and you should have more manners, but also, like, literally, why God?
Yeah, it really brings up some deep existential questions. Yeah.
Start with the little things, you know?
So Nathan's talking to Sandy after all this, and so he's like, Joel just has an attitude. She's like, well, okay, I care about you both. I think you guys should have a chat. Maybe go, have I done something to you? Or maybe say, would you like a Branzino? Or how about, do you want a hug? And then Branzino. And then maybe afterwards say, and then we can watch Wind. And then maybe offer, or we could have Branzino afterwards. You know, give him options. See how it goes.
When your energy is clean, there's no excuse. Okay? That has to be said. He's like, okay, I guess I'll have a chat with him. Thank you, Captain Sandy.
So, and by have a chat, I mean I'll ask him a question, and when he gives me his honest response, I'll get very steely and cold and confirm all his opinions about me. Okay, great.
Yes. So now it's Cassandra's birthday cake. They sing her happy birthday, and then Jeff gives her a diamond necklace from Cartier that was $102,000.
Yeah. He's like, that's pretty pricey. So there's more unclogging that is going on for a very long, the unclogging thing happens for a very, very long time. And then, Nathan is, he tells Joe, he's like, before you go down, can we have a wee chat? Joe's like, okay, sound. I'll meet you on the bull. Can I have a wee chat? He's like, what could he possibly want me to talk to me about? So Nathan's like, I just want to have this wee chat with you because I want to know if I've done anything or said anything to you that's made you walk around pouting for 2 days. Well, that's a great way to start the open and honest conversation right there. I mean, you're not wrong, but let's try to be.
Yeah, but also, yeah, your behavior on the entire season has been shitty towards both
just of say,
you, to everybody who's worked for you. So acting like, what have I done to ya?
Yeah, say, hey, I feel like there's mounting tension between the two of us, and I want to know how I've contributed so I can fix what I've done. Like, that's what you say. If you're like a manager trying to fix, not like, have I done anything to make you such a pussy baby? Why are you acting like this?
Yes. And Joe's like, well, obviously you're coming back. I put my tail between my legs and I just let you take command. Yeah. Yeah. It's like literally your job. And he's like, well, for one, out of respect and not to step on your toes. And he's like, well, the thing is, we work together. We're a team. I'm bosun, you're lead deckhand. We need both of our skill sets to maximize the possible outcomes for our team, blah-de-blah. And that's where I think the confusion is. So that wasn't so bad. And then Joe's like, well, I'm going to say it. Like, you've got to understand, they've got an aggressive nature. You've got a very short temper, and that plays an effect, and that annoyed Cooper. And it's okay, just stick with yourself.
Yeah,
like, why do you need to bring other people into it? And you annoyed me, but we don't feel like we have the chance to even say something because you're so reactive.
And so Nathan goes, oh, honestly, wow, because I don't get it. I'm approachable. And he like says this with like this rageful look on his face. Like, how dare you say I'm not approachable? It's like, no, just ask Cooper. It's like, okay, I'll have a chat. I'll see. It's like, a chat? It's like, yeah, you can go down now. We'll get up at 6 a.m. this morning in the morning and take it as it comes. See how we do. I'm like, you are barely controlling your rage right now in your attempt to seem like you're a chill guy. Is totally approachable.
Yeah, totally approachable.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So, Aisha is complimenting the girls. What a wonderful job you've done. It's been amazing. I'm the most amazing. And the guests are off in the main salon. You just hear Aisha up there. Never seen anybody make a thing like this. Well, we still didn't even get water toy. I paid for everything. I gotta pray for good weather tomorrow. This sucks.
So then Coop and Nathan meet up, and Nathan's like, so I had a chat with Joe, and he was like, you're very unapproachable and aggressive, and Cooper feels the same way. And Cooper's like, oh, Daddy, well, I hope you feel I welcomed you with open arms, bro, because obviously you came at me before, and it was because you felt disrespected, and he's my roommate, so of course I got Joe's back, but I got yours, too. He's like, well, I have his back as well, man, but I want him to snap out of this. He's like, oh, but hey, I played football, and I have had coaches say some out-of-pocket shit, and then I show up the next day and I get right to work, so don't worry, you're just like an abusive football coach.
And how unprofessional is it to be like, well, I just talked to Joe, and he said that you said this about me, so what do you have to say for yourself? Like, whoa.
Yeah.
What's so unprofessional? Jesus. Yeah. Just how can I do better or something? So Nathan's like, well, he threw your name into the mix as well. I don't know if you heard me, but you should turn against Joe now because he just betrayed you. So I wanted to let you know that, you know, but I don't want the fucking drama, which is why I'm trying to start drama between you and Joe. Very professional.
Well, maybe I prefer Joe's method of leading a little bit more, but you know, I always had my dad as my coach, and he's more of a Nathan-style leader. He's like a real deck daddy, but a real daddy, and he's a strict disciplinarian. One time, I got to practice late, and I had to run laps before and after practice. He's my coach, but he's also the one that drove me to practice late. That was one of the funniest things.
That was gold. And we see, you know, Cooper's being so, like, telling the sweet story of his dad and being so sweet, you know, being so nice about it. Like, oh, what a great memory of my dad. But we see why you're trying to call everybody else in the world your father. Like, what an asshole.
Yeah.
Got us here late. Wow. Run laps, Cooper.
It's not my, it's your fault I was late. Maybe it was. By the way, maybe it was Cooper's fault. So it's day two. Everyone's waking up, and Nathan and Joe are frosted with each other. And guess what? Jen's wearing her brace. She tells her mom she's going to wear her brace. She's like, Mom, I don't want you to think that I'm not being successful right now, but I will be wearing my brace. And this will not stop me from being a purser someday. So just letting you know. I may be down, but I'm not out. Okay, mother. And then Sandy,
the mom is like, well, you know, I read on Instagram, waste not, want not. All right, are we done here? We done here, Jen?
I loved that just that little win scene that we got of Jen's mom a couple of weeks ago. And so it's like, Mom,
it's like, uh-huh. Well, you know, just treat other people as you want to be treated, Jen. Okay.
What do we think her parents do? I really have this vision of them either like both being like therapists, or like one's like a therapist, the other is like a high powered attorney. I just have this very New York-y view, like a neurotic New York-y idea of what this family is, and I like love it.
I kind of got that from how she described her parents, that they were like, you know, perfect, really regimented, wealthy, successful people. And I'm not saying that they're not like that, but Jen's mom's attitude was just so much more chill than I thought, you know, just giving her Instagram memes, like spiritual Instagram memes, and kind of just being like, okay, I need to get this aggro chick off the phone with me, you know?
I just sort of see them as like Donald Sutherland and Sacra Channing and Six Degrees of Separation. And like they've actually replaced Jen with like a handsome con artist. Instead, they're like, Jen, we know you're trying to be more successful than us, but we found Will Smith and he's our son now.
So Sandy gets a text from Norma, and Norma's like, whoa, the deckhand I was talking to is available and can join your crew this afternoon. Should I book him? I'm sorry, you'll have to let me know so I can do this before my evening delight and after my afternoon delight, if you know what I mean. Wink, 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 bloop.
I'm not sure if I know what that means. By delight, do you mean a stack of three cakes that you will be eating? Also, here's three laughter emojis to emphasize that I'm laughing at my own joke. Bloop.
Bloop. Well, at least you have an emoji to smile back at you, Sandy, because you sure don't make it. You sure don't make the crew do that. Bloop.
Well, I guess I don't make the crew do that because I have no crew thanks to you not doing your job. Bloop.
Bloop. Well, you've had more people quitting than I've had people begging to get into my bed. Wait a minute. That didn't really make much sense. Unsend. Unsiri. Unsiri. Bloop.
You found your own trap. Love you, bitch.
Bloop. Love you, bitch. Sad face emoji. Laughter emoji. Bloop.
Hey, you do it too. So, same thing. All crew. I have even more good news for you. Free granola bars and the bridge. And then on top of that, another piece of good news. We'll be receiving our new deckhand. We'll arrive later this afternoon, so leave one granola bar behind for him. Okay, get ready, guys. It'll be a wonderful day.
All right, Nathan, Sandy, get up here. Okay, hey, did you have your conversation with Joe?
Why are you whispering? We're all alone in the bridge.
Whispering's more fun. Did you have your conversation with Joe? How did it go?
Well, you know, I just was professional. That's all. Good. Because he had great qualities.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
You have great qualities. He has great qualities. So together, it'll be really great. Sorry. We have to whisper because we've got to practice for when we surprise the new deckhand. He's going to come on board and he's going to think it's a ghost ship because he won't see anyone. And he'll get up here and go, surprise, there are humans on board. Oh, I said, gee, are you ready for that part? You try it now.
All right. Let's kill it. Get out there. It's going to come at 3. It's coming at 3. It's going to be great.
So then, we go to Jen and Kat's cabin. Jen's on the floor. She's like, oh my God, my wrist is so swollen.
Guess what? We're getting a new deckhand today. This afternoon is coming.
She's like, oh my God, what? I need to get dressed. Starts like she's doing like, her hair and makeup. She's like, oh my God. Oh my God, there's going to be someone hot coming on this boat. Everybody's sheets are fucked. Everybody's sheets are fucked now.
It's like, damn.
Gross. I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Let me lift up this mattress with my wrist. So then Sandy is complimenting Nathan on a job well done. And Jeff, they're so excited that they're leaving the dock. And Joe is, Kaylee's asking Joe how he's doing. And he's like, I'm sound, considering it's been 4 weeks of me faking a friendship. If it was my choice, I'd leave. You can leave actually at any moment. There's nothing stopping you. And honestly, I would sort of encourage it at this point.
Yeah. So Nathan wonders, he comes by and hears smack being talked again. And he's like, what the fuck? Jesus Christ. I mean, it's talking shit about me again. We're going to have a huge problem. So then the crew's eating breakfast and so is the staff. And Jeff's like, oh my God, everything's amazing. And they're just like, Jeff is happy. That's crazy. And he asks her how long she's been yachting. It's been 10 years. And then Kaylee is now on her break and Nathan comes up too in the crew mess. And Nathan's like, can I ask you a question? Has Joe been talking shit about me? Tell me what he said. And she's like, well, I'm talking shit now. I mean, you know, he's complained about work and you're at work, but I mean, not really about you specifically. He's like, really? Because he hasn't talked shit. Are you sure? Because I think he's probably been talking shit and you would know. So you better tell me if he's talking shit. Fuck off.
Yeah. If I were
how unprofessional like, can you be every single scene?
Yeah. I'd be like, this is really not appropriate for you to be asking me this. I'm in a different department and I don't feel comfortable answering any questions about personal conversations I have with Joe.
And you're not my boss and stop getting aggro and sitting there squinting at me, like putting me on trial for something.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
And then at the end, add fuck face. It's be a nice touch. Really emphasize.
Yeah. He's like, well, if he's got something to say to me, he needs to grow a pair of balls.
Well, okay. What about you? Okay. Yeah, so Kaylee's
like, maybe you should let she use your words.
Words. And also, like, we're not giving Joe a pass. He is a complete underminer, and he is talking shit. And you did actually confront him about it, and he lied and said that he had no issues, but he still does have issues. So, you know, like, you technically have done the right thing here in certain ways. But also, like, how many times do people have to tell you you have an anger issue before you start to think about maybe ways that you could be doing something differently? I mean, that's the The joke is on me because people like this don't ever see it, and then they wind up in real life situations like the one he is currently in.
Yeah, I mean, my main problem with this is just the poor manipulation skills. Like, you know how Joe is going to be, so let him get worse and worse and get caught talking behind, you know, like let him get caught like he did earlier in the episode when Captain Sandy's like, really, you can't take out trash? Let him dig his own grave. You don't have to go around trying to make something happen here, you know, just set Joe up to look stupid. Why do you need to? You don't need to do all this. Like, get better at manipulation. You're a terrible boss. You're a terrible leader. So then Jen and Kat are doing dishes, and Jen's like, oh my God, bro, I fucking hate using these egg things because, like, they need to, like, soak a lot. And she's talking about ring molds.
Egg things. And so Kat's like, I mean, I could wash them if you want. She's like, yeah, but then I, like, don't want to have to carry all this shit because I already dropped a fucking tray because my wrist is so fucking swollen from crashing into a wall in Bali. So Kat's like, it's okay. I could do it. She's like, I think that, like, Jen's wrist does hurt, like, a little bit. And I feel like every day Jen wakes up and it's, like, new lore unlocked. And it's, like, really hard to navigate her personality because there's, like, so much negativity. But, like, so I'm just, like, trying to be as positive as I can, hoping, like, it will rub off on her. But there's, like, only so much I can do. Positivity never runs, like, rubs off on people, especially not people like Jen. It actually fuels her negativity.
Yeah. So then we go to the swim platform. Jeff finally gets to go into the water, guys. So he's happy. And while the guests are doing their water things, Nathan confronts Joe. He's like, can I ask you something? Have you talked smack to the crew about me or not?
Smack? What do you mean?
It's like, yeah, have you talked shit about me or not? Just tell me whether you talk shit about me.
No shit, no. I mean, I could ask the same question to you. Like, we work together, and it seems it's tense, and I'm sure you said shit about me, and I couldn't give one shit, if I'm honest.
Just as long as you're not trying to turn them against me.
That is definitely not. That could be insecurity from your end, but nah.
What insecurities? What are you talking about, insecurities? What?
It's weird. It's weird. I don't know, but it's weird. It's weird. You're insecure. Insecure. You like that TV show, Insecure. I just start calling you.
Just say it to my face, though. Whatever you have to say, say it to my face. He is saying it to your face. He's literally said everything he said to everybody else to your face.
Yeah. It's like, no, I said it yesterday. It was mostly that I can't communicate with you, or I feel I've got my tail between my legs, and that was the issue.
But actually, so that's my insecurities now. Maybe it's your insecurities, and that's why you're thinking that. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's yours.
No. You mean on my end? No, it's not on my end.
Yeah, you're insecure. Yeah, because you're going to have heated moments, and that's overcoming them. You know, I've worked boats since the age of 17, so I know how boats work. Wow.
I've not been chatting shit. Okay, Joe. Joe tells us he hasn't been chatting shit, which is a complete lie. He's like, but if I was chatting shit, I'd say, Nathan, you're a terrible boss. You don't know what you're doing. You're putting a few rounds in the round. You're putting a few round the middle. I'm the better bosun, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut. You just want reaction out of me, and you're not going to get it. Like, you're literally giving him a reaction, and you are not keeping your mouth shut.
Yeah, you're both douchebags. So Coop gets to go pick up the new... Nathan has to go pick up the new deckhand. So he's out of this conversation. And Coop is overhearing this. And he's like, well, I mean, this is a horrible time to walk in here and being thrown into this shit. And so Nathan's like, well, maybe with someone new, we'll get rid of some of this negative energy. I can't wait to make whoever it is lead deckhand because I'm sure they deserve it.
And, he goes off and gets the guy. And we'll have to see who this person is next week. But the saga continues.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, thanks so much for being here. Great times. We will talk to you in a couple of days. And just a programming note, we will not be here Monday to do Crappy Hour. So it'll be the following week.
Yeah.
Ish. Something.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll announce that later. But thank you so much for being here. And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster. It's always automatic with Ashley Otto. Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call. Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey. Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our Palliger. It's Karen Gallagher.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy. It's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP. It's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland. Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman. In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock. We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron. She's a whiz. It's Liz Sarthy. Always killing it. It's Lola Alkalani. Roger that. It's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes. It's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs. It's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess. It's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie. It's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Please don't stop. It's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose. It's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.